Welcome to the Hillside Church Sermon Podcast. We're thrilled to have you join our community. Each week, Pastor Brad, our pastoral team, or our guest speakers bring the Bible's timeless truths to life, offering messages that are not just inspiring, but deeply relevant to your daily journey. Whether you're joining us in Airdrie or tuning in from anywhere around the world, we hope these sermons encourage you, strengthen your faith, and help you feel more connected to Jesus and to us. Thanks for being part of our Hillside family. Let's grow together in faith and love. As family, we go.
This week, we're starting a new sermon series that's actually going to take us through all the way till the summer, through till July. And we're going to be talking actually for the next six Sundays, about something that is core to us as a church, something that is one of the most important concepts and roles that we have as a church, but also that we have as people. It's something that is crucially and critically important that we understand, that we talk about, and even that we operate in. It's something that we'll see is at the very heart of Jesus. That it was at the very heart of the ministry of Jesus, and it's at the very heart of Jesus' heart for his church. That as we're going to explore this concept, we're going to discover that it's at the very core of the identity of who we are meant to be. And it's something that ultimately, if we are really fully living for Jesus, that if in every way and in every part of our life, we have really started to live for Jesus, this will be our ultimate purpose. Ultimately, this will be the place where we find ourselves. That whatever path and whatever roadway we're on, the more and more and more we follow Jesus, ultimately, my path, your path, all of our paths, our path as a church is going to lead us all to this very specific and this very important point. We can sometimes measure spiritual growth with questions like, well, do you pray? Do you read your Bible? Do you go to church? Do you sing the songs? Do you serve at church? Even things like, do we give money to the church? But the ultimate real question of spiritual growth and spiritual maturity comes at something bigger than all of those things. Those things are good and they're right, and you should read your Bible and you should come to church and you should serve in church and you should pray and all of those kinds of things. But ultimately, what God has for us and for you is something even bigger than that. There's one thing that we see in Scripture that Jesus asked us to do. There's one thing that Jesus gave for us to do. One thing that Jesus puts us on mission to do. One thing that Jesus commissioned us as the church, as his children, to do. And this is found in some of the very last words that Jesus speaks to his disciples before he was taken up into heaven. And in the book of Matthew chapter 28, we read these words that Jesus speaks to his followers. But by extension, we know that this didn't just stop with the disciples, but by extension, he's speaking these words to us today. He will say this, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded to you." This is what's known as the Great Commission. It's what we've come to call it. We've come to call this selection of verses the Great Commission. It's Jesus commissioning his church. As Jesus is going to leave his disciples, he's giving them the core to come back to, that as they journey through life and the next generation of disciples and the next generation of disciples and the next generation of disciples, as they're journeying through life and they can have these moments where they're like, why are we here? Why are we doing this? What is our purpose? Jesus gives them this as something to come back to. Your job is to go into all the world and make disciples. And my friends, we are here today as a direct result of this moment. That someone, somewhere, went into your part of the world, wherever it is that you accepted Jesus. And one of the things that we're blessed by in this moment is that we have people in this room who accepted Jesus literally all over the world. We didn't all accept Jesus here. Some of us accepted Jesus in Airdrie. Some of us in Rwanda. Some of us in Mali. Some of us in China. Some of us in different places all over the world accepted Jesus. And it's the result of this moment where Jesus would say, go into all the world. And so they went into all the world and told someone. And they went into all the world and told someone. And they went into all the world and made disciples. And they went into all the world and made disciples. All the way up until somebody went into your part of the world and made you a disciple. And we are the result of this process being walked out. Go into all the world and make disciples. And it's continued to be the call on the followers of Jesus up until today. This was their purpose, and this is our purpose. We're going to talk about what it means that we're to live our lives in light of this being our calling. Discipleship. What does discipleship mean? What does it mean that you are a disciple? Would you use that term of yourself? Would you call yourself a disciple? But then also, what does it mean that you are called to make disciples? What does it mean that for each one of us, Jesus didn't look at his disciples and say, you are to go and make disciples. You're just disciples. You don't need to know. He says to all of his followers, go into all the world and make disciples. But before we dive into the question of what does that look like for us, how do we understand that? We need to lay some groundwork to understand discipleship as a picture in our lives. And for that, we need to look at the very opening words of the Bible, because the first handful of words in the Bible give us a picture of how we're to understand discipleship. And so the very opening words of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, first book, first chapter, first words say, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God created. Now, for our purpose and our time together, we're not going to walk through all of the creation narrative and talk about how to understand all of the things going on in this picture of creation that we're given. But instead, what I want to focus on is in the very beginning, the first thing we see do, the first words we have reference to God are a picture of God creating. That God begins by making things. And I want to take some time here just as we kick off this series, just part one. We're going to be talking about discipleship and what that means and what it looks like for us and how do we do that. But we need to start at the very beginning because we need to see in God's creative process what it looks like when God creates something, when God makes something. And we see that God makes Or God takes nothing, and he takes nothingness, and he makes from that everything. We see a God who creates with intentionality. That God, we don't read in the creation account, that God just says, let there be something. And then something happened. But we see a God who creates with intentionality, with purpose, with specificity, there we go. Sometimes you're talking and you don't know where it's going, then I'm like, I don't know if I can say that word. Specificity, with design. And we even see that he creates with joy. And this is important for us to see what it looks like when God creates, because when we look at what it means for us to be makers, there's something important that we see in the creation account when we understand what it looks like when God creates. That God creates on the first day, and then he looks and he says, and it was good. And on the second day, he looks and he says, it was good. And on the third day, fourth day, fifth day, it says that he looks and he sees that it was good. But then there's a shift in verse 26 of Genesis chapter 1. God creates again, but he creates differently this time. And we read this in verse 26 of Genesis chapter 1. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. And I want to pause here for a moment because I've just had my sense that maybe for somebody at church today, this is what you needed to hear. The rest of the sermon isn't for you. But this reminder that you were created in the image of God, that's what you need to take with you today. That maybe you've been struggling with your identity. Maybe you've been struggling with your value. Maybe you've been struggling with where do I fit? How do I fit? Do I matter? Do I really matter? Does anybody care? Does anybody notice? Does it matter to anyone? And God wants to speak to you today if you've been struggling with that. And let you know, my son or my daughter, you are beyond value. Because you were created in my image. And that comes with more value than you'll ever be able to understand. But this idea of being created in the image of God, it has so many meanings and so many purposes for us. It touches every area of your life. Every area of your existence is touched by the fact that you were created in the image of God. We don't get away from that. And it doesn't just somehow touch little parts here and there and it intersects at different moments. Every part of our lives is impacted by the fact that we are image bearers of God. But specific to our context today is that we can understand that in the same way that God is a creator, that God is a maker, we bear that same likeness. That you and I, we were created to be makers. We were created to be creators. Not that you and I would go on to create worlds and universes. Not that you and I would go on to become gods ourselves. But when Jesus gave us our purpose, when Jesus gave us our mission, he showed us that we were meant to be makers, just like whose image we were created in. When Jesus says, therefore, go and make. From the very beginning, God is making. And Jesus says, you were made in the image of my Father. And what we have for you is that you would also be makers. But that we would make disciples. And we'll go on later in this series to the Great Commission, and we'll look at what Jesus said, and we're going to talk about what it means that you and I are called to make disciples, and what kind of pressure that puts on you, and what kind of pressure that doesn't put on you, and how we're meant to do this, and what all of that's meant to look like. But today, I want us to understand what we were created to do and created to be, and we need to begin with that we were created to be makers. But there's one more piece of this creation account that we need to see to help us put into context what it means that we are meant to be makers and how that's going to work itself out in our lives. And this takes place one chapter later in Genesis chapter 2. After God has made everything, each and everything God makes, he looks and he sees and he says, it's good, it's good, it's good. Until God creates humanity. And then God's wording changes. After he creates humanity, he doesn't say it was good. When God creates humanity, he says it was very good. We were very good. But in Genesis chapter 2, we see something happen that we have not seen happen yet. As God surveys his creation, and he sees Adam in the garden, God says to himself for the first time, in a world where everything is at worst good and at best very good, God sees for the first time that something isn't good. Genesis 2:18 says, "The Lord God said, 'It is not good for the man to be alone.'" Now, far be it for me to correct God, but Adam wasn't alone. Adam had a perfect relationship with God. We read that Adam and God talked. We read that whatever it looked like, God would go for walks in the garden. Adam was in the garden with God, in relationship with God. And it was a perfect relationship. Sin had not yet entered into the picture. There was no distance between Adam and God. There was nothing to cause their relationship to have any kind of conflict. There was no gap. They were in perfect relationship with one another. But God looks at his creation and he recognizes that he created humanity for something else beyond just a relationship with God. But there's something else that we were created for. And this other thing is foundational to the understanding of and this conversation that we're going to have around discipleship. And it's this one simple truth. You and I, we were created for relationship with other people. We were never created for this life to look like just me and God and we're doing our thing. I'm on my own. I don't need anybody else. All I need is God. And if it's just me and God, we're doing just fine. Just the two of us. No one else is needed. Because when Adam was living in that exact place perfectly, Adam could draw closer to God than you and I can. Adam could have this relationship that you and I just simply can't have with God. And yet God looked at that relationship and he said, this relationship being the only relationship that he has, it's not good. It's not good for him to not be in relationship with others. That's not the life I have for him. That's not the created purpose I have for him, is just to be with me. I created him with the purpose of other people. We're not called to live our lives separate from others, from other people. Even if we say it's just me and God, we see that God created us for other people. And so when we look at the story of creation, we see that God made us in his image as makers. And he created us to be in relationship with other people. We see these two truths, that God is a creator. We are made in God's creation, or we are made in God's image. Therefore, we are creators. And we were created to be in relationship with one another. And then Jesus brings that all together when he says, you were created in my Father's image. You were created to make. You were created to be with other people. Therefore, go and create disciples of these other people. Go and create, go and make disciples through his call to make disciples in the Great Commission. And we see Jesus actually modeling this for us. When we look at what Jesus did with his disciples for about 3 years, he walked with them. He talked with them. He cried with them. He challenged them. He called them out at times. But he loved them through everything. He had relationship with them. It wasn't about formal programs. It wasn't about, well, Jesus doesn't have a meeting one day and say, I've gathered you all together because we're going to do a rooted Bible study together. It wasn't about titles and it wasn't about roles. At the core, Jesus' discipleship of his disciples was about relationship. Authentic, transparent, sometimes uncomfortable, sometimes challenging, and sometimes painful relationship. And so I want to begin to get us thinking about this today. As we go through this series on discipleship, and we talk about what it is and how to do it and all of these things, and what does it look like for you, and what does it look like in your context and in your circumstance, how can you make disciples, all of these things, what does it mean that you are a disciple? I want to begin to get us to think about this. Do you believe that you were created by God to be in relationship? Not only with God, but with other people. And not just in relationship with the people around us, but in relationship with the people around us for a purpose. That God just didn't create you, but God created you to be in relationship. But God just didn't create you to be in relationship, but he created you to be in those relationships for a purpose. And that purpose is discipleship. See, I was a youth pastor for a long time. Pastor Matt is our youth pastor right now. And one of the questions that we begin to wrestle with in our teenage years, and some of us wrestle with it well past our teenage years, but we begin to wrestle with this question and this concept of, like, why am I here? What is my purpose? What has God called me to do? Why am I here? And as we wrestle with this question of calling and purpose, and especially as we're talking about it with teenagers, but even as we grow older and older, we wrestle with this question in terms of, like, what is it that I'm supposed to do for work? That we equate purpose with job. That well, God has called and created me to be an engineer. God has called and created me to be an accountant. God has called and created me to be a garbage man. God has called and created me to be a teacher. God has called and created me to be whatever it is that my job is. And there is a fraction of truth to that idea. But my friends, your calling and your purpose is not your job, whether you work out of the home or whether you work in the home. Your calling and your purpose is not your job. Your job is a tool that God has given you to fulfill your ultimate purpose, to go into all the world and make disciples. That God needed someone in the place where you work, so he put you there, not so that you can work there, but so that you can be there. So as we talk about purpose, we discover that this is our purpose. Because being a disciple and discipleship, these are not just meant to be words that we throw around at church. That the pastor sometimes says this discipleship word and we talk about the disciples and all of these kinds of things, but it doesn't really mean anything and I don't even understand it. And it's not something that's only meant to apply to some of us. That we look around the room and go, well, the pastor, he's supposed to make disciples. That's his job. Or maybe there's a couple other people that you look around the room like, okay, maybe them too. But not me. I'm not a disciple maker. I'm not that person. Jesus said to his followers, I want you to go all around the world and make disciples. And like I say, we are a product of that. The Great Commission, one of the very last things that Jesus talks to his followers about. And so it's important that we understand what this means. What a disciple is, what discipleship looks like, because we're called to do it. And today, what I want us to see is at the core, at the heart of discipleship, is honest, authentic relationship. I'm on my last slide anyway. Jeremy, you got it. Honest, authentic relationship. And if we can just grasp that concept and live in light of what God's word says about relationship and about discipleship, then I believe that God is going to do amazing things in our church and in us as people. Because my friends, you will never find more fulfillment in your life than when you're doing what God has called you to do. You will never find more fulfillment in your life than when you are doing what God called and purposed and created you to do. It's why we can gather together in a group like this, and some of us have jobs that other people would never do. Some of us will look at other people's jobs and say, I don't know how you do that. You couldn't pay me enough to even consider doing what you do. Bill Martin is sitting in the front row, and you couldn't have a better example than Martin's Pest Control. Who here wants to do that? And yet Bill can spend his life doing this, building this. See, I like this job. I was cutting the grass yesterday. There was an ant crawling on my leg. I almost quit. But no, this is gross. I don't want bugs crawling on. He made a life out of bugs. And yet we can say, I love my job. And other people will look at our jobs and go, how? How do you love that? How could you find joy in that? How could you find fulfillment in doing that? Because it's what God called and created you to do. And so I can't find calling and purpose and fulfillment in what you're called to do. And you may not be able to find calling and fulfillment and purpose in what I'm called to do. But when we do what God has called us to do, we find fulfillment. And when we start to understand that God's calling and purpose is so much bigger than just the job that we do, but it's in the fact that we're called to create and make disciples, we will never find more fulfillment, more purpose, and more meaning than when we do the thing that God has called us to do. To make disciples. And so as we walk this road where we're learning to make disciples and we're beginning to invest in other people and beginning to invest in those relationships and growing together, God is going to do amazing things in your life. You're going to find more purpose and more fulfillment than you've ever found. And God is going to do incredible things through our church. And so I want to invite you to lean into this truth. And begin to see the relationship or all the relationships that God has given you as just that. The relationships that God has given you. That they're not just there by accident. They're not just there because they're the neighbors in the house that you happen to buy. They're not just your coworkers because they happen to sit at the desk next to the job or next to the desk that the job you have has. That you're not... Your relationships in your life are not there by accident. That God has given them to you. A gift that he has given each one of us to both be a disciple and make disciples. God made you with intentionality. He created us for a reason. And throughout Scripture, this is the story, or throughout Scripture, we see the story of a broken relationship being rebuilt. A broken relationship between God and man being redeemed through Jesus Christ. And that, my friends, is what we're called to bring to the world. So three takeaways from our time together today. First, you were made to make. You were created in the image of God who creates, and we are called to be makers too. God formed us with intentionality and purpose, not only to be in relationship with him, but to be active participants in his mission, specifically to make disciples. The Great Commission is not something that's for some of us. It's not a suggestion. It's our core assignment that Jesus left for every believers. It's for all of us. You are a maker. You are called to make disciples. Second, discipleship is rooted in relationship. At the heart of discipleship is authentic, intentional relationship. Even in a perfect garden with perfect communion with God, God said it's not good for man to be alone. We were designed to walk with others. Jesus modeled discipleship not through structured programs, but through presence, conversation, and life shared. Discipleship starts with building relationships with each other. And lastly, relationships have a God-given purpose. Your relationships in your life are not random. They're a gift given by God with a mission attached. Every friendship, every conversation, every connection is an opportunity to reflect Jesus and grow together in faith. The people around you are not just part of your life, they're part of your calling. Through everyday relationships, you can participate in God's redemptive work. God has placed people in your life on purpose, for the purpose of discipleship. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you for the awesome, awesome truth that it is that we were created in your image, that we were created in the image of God. What an unbelievable truth for us to walk in. And so, God, I pray that we would walk well in that calling. God, as you, from the very beginning, were makers and were creators, God, you created us to make and to create. And so, God, I pray that we would be faithful to be makers of what you've called us to make. God, would you give us eyes to see the relationships around us? Would you give us eyes to see the people around us? Would you give us eyes to see the world through the lens that you've called us to see it through? God, may we not take for granted the people in our lives. May we not take for granted those we like, and may we not take for granted those we don't like. But God, may we be able to see the world through the lens of go into all the world and make disciples. God, I thank you that you have a plan and a purpose for each one here, that their life is not by accident, their life is not something that's just stumbled through at random, but God, that their life has a purpose. And God, I pray that each one of us would be able to walk out the purpose you've given us. God, I thank you for the way that you love us. I thank you for the faith you demonstrate in us to give us these assignments. And God, I thank you that through you, we can go into all the world and make disciples. God, we thank you for your love. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Hillside Church. We're so glad to be able to share God's word with you as part of our church family. Stay connected with us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at Hillside Airdrie. Send us an email at info@hillsideairdrie.ca. You can also reach out to our pastors via our website, hillsideairdrie.ca, by selecting our church in the main menu, then our leadership from the drop-down. Our vision is to help everyone know God, know his hope, know his purpose, and know his power together. As family, we go.